Ma'am. If anyone has any dishes, please go out and look and see if you have any. Do you have them on the table? Okay. Now, it has not, as far as we know, been announced yet. But Bonnie has kindly reminded me that usually the last Sunday in April is daylight savings time. So let's keep a close check to make sure that we don't foul ourselves up by 1 hour. See, it'll be 1 hour earlier that we have to get up. Is that right? Okay. Also, we're planning on giving the sacred pre-initiation the third week in June. And I think that all of you who have been with me for a long time, and many of you who are newer, realize the importance of attending services every Wednesday evening and every Sunday. You must prepare for this tremendous privilege of being given a technique, a method, which will help you to realize God within yourself so much more rapidly than you would in ordinary development that no words can describe it. It is a technique that is given in the Old Testament and part of our own Christian Bible, and it is very, very necessary that you prepare yourselves physically, mentally, and spiritually for this great occasion. I would like to read to you this morning an article entitled The Mirror of Silence by Paramahansa Yogananda. When you find that your soul, your heart, every wisp of inspiration, every speck of the vast blue sky, every shining blossom of the sky, the mountains, the earth, the whippoorwill, and the bluebells are all tied with one chord of rhythm, one chord of joy, one chord of unity, and one chord of spirit, then you know that nothing exists but the waves of this cosmic sea. I feel him like a gentle breath of bliss, breathing in my body of universes. I perceive him shining through the bright twinkles of all luminosity and through the waves of cosmic consciousness. I behold him as the light of solar inspiration, holding the luminaries of my thoughts in the rhythm of balance. Like a silent, invisible river flowing beneath the sands, flows the vast, dimensionless river of spirit through the sands of time, through the sands of experience, through the sands of all souls, through the sands of all living atoms, and through the sands of all space. I feel him as a bursting voice, leading, guiding, reaching secretly in the soul temple of all men and things in creation. He is the fountain of wisdom and radiant inspiration flowing through all souls. He is the fragrance oozing from the incense base of all hearts. He is a garden of celestial blossoms and bright thought flowers. He is the love which inspired our love dreams. I feel him percolating through my heart, as through all hearts, through the pores of the earth, through the sky, and through all created things. He is the eternal motion of joy. He is the mirror of silence in which all creation is reflected. In his mind and in his soul. It's tremendous. I'd like to read to you this morning from St. Matthew, chapter 25, beginning with verse 31. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. And before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was in hunger, and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me in. Naked, and ye clothed me. I was sick, and ye visited me. I was in prison, and ye came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee in hunger, and fed thee, or thirsty, and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger, and took thee in, or naked, and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick or in prison, and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me. I love these verses. I want to talk to you this morning about the seven steps to glory. We speak much of the center of Christ consciousness. When the Son of Man within us, the human ego, has been crucified and transformed on our own cross, which is our body, then in truth that consciousness is lifted up, and we have a tremendous feeling of bliss, and our whole being is filled with light. But there is a throne room to which we must learn to go, and that throne room is the heart center. It is the center of all life, because if it were not for that throne room and that indwelling presence there, then the brain, the consciousness, could not function to understand, to receive the glory of the Lord when we have paid the necessary price. These seven steps, of course, are the seven spinal centers, which in Revelations, or rather in St. Paul, are called the seven churches. And there's a candlestick at each one, because each one is lit by the electrical force which enters the body of the medulla, goes straight through what we call the center of Christ consciousness, distributes itself through the brain, and then down to each one of these spinal centers, which control a separate body part. But yet, as each one has its own individual function, isn't it amazing that God, in the midst of you, works to make all things work together as one. One body, one self, one spark of God's infinite light. And how we abuse that privilege, how we use our senses and misuse them just to satisfy the Son of Man, that human ego, with its animal-like nature. When man has risen to the point where he is suffering so much that finally he reaches out for something greater than himself, when he realizes that nothing that he has been able to do has given him comfort, and all of the things that he has indulged in his senses have brought him nothing but sorrow, then he reaches out for the Lord. And strangely enough, the Lord appears to him on the road to Damascus, which is within his own consciousness. Perhaps he is given a vision, perhaps a word from somebody, perhaps he reads a book that inspires him to reach out for God. And in the beginning, he is a man wandering in the wilderness because he is in that wilderness of all of the animalistic nature of himself. He's lost. His whole being is filled with darkness, and he doesn't know which way to go. He sees just this little tiny beam of light, and he reaches out for it because he knows that until that light expands, he will not be able to become one with that great Son that is within himself. Everybody looks on the outside for the coming, the second coming of the Christ. But in the beginning, you see, the great religions of the world knew that God was one. For instance, in the Hindu religion, they have the whole Godhead is exactly correlated with that in the Christian Bible. And yet, strangely enough, they have the third aspect which is of the Trinity, which is called Shiva. But they don't take Shiva as the whole satanic force. Rather, there's just one little part within the concept of Shiva, which is called Rudra. And that is the part which tempts man, causes him to succumb to temptation. In the beginning, they knew that God was totally one, and that everything that happened in the universe was the dual workings of his one nature. They knew that he had made perfect law, and as they followed that perfect law, then goodness came into their life, into their lives. Glory came into their lives, supply, everything that their heart desires, they were rewarded. And they knew that when they went against God's law, that then they were punished. themselves. And so man himself has brought the concept of good and evil into the world because God is one, but he functions on two levels. And this is his way of life. This is his way of bringing man, as he is born in the beginning, as the Son of Man, as the Savior, that spiritual something within each of us, into a greater glory, into the knowledge that he must reach up and within himself to find the kingdom of heaven. Now your throne room is the heart. And as you ascend the spinal stairway of your own being, gradually your consciousness is lifted. And as this kundalini or serpent force, as it is described in the Christian scriptures, goes from one center to the next, you have experiences, both bad and good, you can call them. But yet they are necessary, because God is in the midst of them. And it is the soul that is reaching out for oneness with the divine within itself that has these experiences. Now the first three spinal centers, as you ascend on the spinal stairway, are very difficult to go through, because centered in these centers is the consciousness of all that has gone before, not only in this life, but in many lives, because no man could possibly go from the bottom to the top in one life. He certainly could not attain his God realization. It is only through going through many lifetimes, of going through many experiences, both good and its opposite, as is explained, that man comes to that point where he is suffering so much because he is not his real self, that he does reach out for something to give him surcease from all of his pain and his turmoil and his troubles, to lift him up out of the darkness into the light. But when he comes finally to that heart center where the battle is fought within himself, this battle of Armageddon, or the battle of Kurukshetra, as the Hindus call it, this is the true experience, the true battleground, but it is also the throne room. And before this battle takes place, you must concentrate on the one who is in the center of that throne room, the center of all life. And you must bring into it all of the sun, all of the feeling, all of the glory, all of the love that you can possibly gather together in your being and focus it. Many people will say, well, what do I do in the throne room? What you do is to be silent. And you put your full attention, your full consciousness on him who is your very self. That is what you do. Be still and know that I am God, it says in the 46th Psalm. Not in activity do you find him, although you serve him in every way, if you will, but put your attention upon him. But in the silence of your own being, that is how you go. You close your eyes. You sit on a chair with a woolen blanket underneath you, with your hands at the juncture between the thigh and the hips. You have your palms open in a receiving position. You focus your full attention up here at the Christ Center or at the Heart Center. And you go into the stillness of your own being and you feel that love for God expanding in your heart. You feel it and you feel it until that whole throne room becomes a room of gold. And God will come there and he will speak to you. You will have that through your feeling nature, which is the greatest way to receive God. Many people want to go into clairvoyancy. They want to go into the occult. They want to attain powers. They want to become healers. They want to become prophets. They want to become everything. But the nothingness they must become in order to realize that they have the everythingness of God right within them. I hear people talking about the things that they think they get away with. They have whispered conversations. They have expressions that pass between them, their eyes, their gestures, the knowing look when they have participated in something that they know deep in their soul is not right. Many have taken courses to help them to cleanse their subconscious minds. And this is a very, very good thing. But there is one thing to be remembered, and that is that just cleansing the subconscious mind of making yourself realize that you are a person entitled to live does not give you license to go against the laws of God. You come out of some of these things as perfected human beings in the sense of your humanness, but there is no divinity in it. There is a sense, rather, of power that you can go out and do anything you want and get away with it because this is your right as a human being. You have no rights as human beings insofar as that relationship to the Spirit goes, because it is the human in us that must be crucified, which must be transformed in order that we realize that divine self, that Christ itself, that Son of God within ourselves. Do not think that you can cheat God in anything that you do, because He is that life, that intelligence, that power within you. And wherever you go, you take Him with you, and He knows every thought, even to the flicker of an eyelash. That's how He knows, even when a sparrow falls to the ground, because He is that life, that power, that whole being. He is the center of it. He is that which makes it move and live and have its being. And until we get rid of the idea that I do this and I have the right to do that, we will never make it. You have to sit down with yourself and be willing to do away with the things that are against the laws of God, to really examine yourself. I've had a lot of very wonderful experiences lately. Many come to me for help, but they do not know that I get help from God in each and every form that comes before me, that I learn something. And I also see myself in each form that comes before me. And I remember the things that they tell me about that they have done, that I too, perhaps in some instances, have done. And I had such a case yesterday. And somebody came and felt terrible because they had done something which they felt was against me. But tracing the thing back, I traced it to myself, something that I've said. And I remember, too, many, many years ago when I sat under a tree in Bend, Oregon, I was meditating. And God lifted me up out of normal consciousness into His never-never land, if you will, which is His everything land. And He said to me, "Are you willing to confess your sins?" And because my love for Him, my surrender was so great, I said, "Yes, of course." And I think I've told you before that I had the idea when I said that I could go and write them all out as far as I could remember them, embroider them a little bit so that they wouldn't look quite so bad if anybody should happen to see them. But instead, why, He had a different idea in mind. And He made me confess my sins. He lifted me up and He put me in a very strange state. And for 6.5 hours, they poured out of me in front of a congregation of people. It was not exactly what I would call a pleasant experience. It was very, very difficult. But I was thinking about that. And I was thinking, if God is all there is in this universe, His is the only life, the only power, the only influence, that every word which comes out of my mouth is a confession of my sin of separation from Him. It is, no matter if it's good or bad, it is an idea of separation. I'm expressing something out here. And only when I go in the silence of my soul, gather all the pieces of myself together, am I truly at one with Him? And that was quite an astounding thought. So I thought I would share it. Because if you will think of the things that you say and think and do as vibrating forth from you, these are sins of separation from God in a sense, because He is to be found within. Does this mean that you have to be like a dumb person? No. But it means that you must change your thoughts. It means that you must change your words and your actions so that whatever comes out from you harms no individual, says nothing that will start a rumor that will be perhaps misinterpreted or misunderstood or perhaps understood and taken up on the wings of the wind and spread all over. And you are responsible for them. So I am responsible for every word that goes forth from my mouth. Now, when you attain your oneness with God, when you have gone beyond this war at the heart center, and you start to climb into the heaven of your own being, which is called the ascension in the Christian scripture, it doesn't happen just in a moment that you've paid the full price and then you ascend into the heaven of your being and sit at the right hand of the Father. There are three steps to go yet on the way up. And these steps are very subtle. And they have to do with the 10 subtle qualities of the mind. Because the mind still houses a memory of everything that you did on the way up. And some of these memories are very, very tempting. And you are tempted to go back and start all over again. You reach out for the pleasure that these things of the senses gave you. And if you're not careful, you will be drawn into the same pit that you have just paid the price for taking yourself out of. It isn't until the final step is taken. I am the way, the truth, and the life, said the Christ. Nobody can go to the Father except through me, through that sixth center of Christ consciousness within yourself. When he goes through that, then, and then alone, has man earned the right of Christhood, of being heir with Christ. Only then can he sit at the right hand of the Father. And you will notice that it says in here about the goats and the sheep. The sheep, Christ is the shepherd, and the sheep are those who truly follow him, who pick up their crosses, which are their bodies, and with every part of their beings, they reach out for Christ. They try to live the good life. They get rid of the habits which have been holding them down for years, in which they are so weak that they cannot make a final commitment and release themselves from the prison house in which they have placed themselves in bondage. What a terrible thing it is to do that. If you have been through a cleansing process, then you should have given up the habits which had caused you to be in trouble and have to go to that place in the first place. You should be clean. You should be pure. You should be rid of the things, your sins of separation from God. They should not continue. And so the goats are the ones that still continue on in the animal nature. But the shepherd of all souls knows his sheep, and he takes that those sheep with him into glory. And it says, before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as the shepherd divided his sheep from the goats. Because you have different chambers in your house. Remember that Christ said, my Father's house has many mansions. I go to prepare a place for you. Now, every single mansion in the world is God's mansion. But as he made, created, and set forth with himself, he did this in all purity. It is what man himself does with this blessed privilege of coming forth in a human form, which makes the difference between goodness and evil. But if you will but remember that God is one, and put your mind upon him, serve him in every single form that you meet, in every little animal, in every bird, reach out, your heart reaches out to the life that is within that. And in pity, if a man has been born crippled or blind or diseased, it is because he has earned it from something that he has done wrong in some other incarnation. Otherwise, where is the justice of God's law? But does that mean that you should think only of what that one has done, which you know not what he has done, nor does he, unless God chose him, in some other incarnation? No. He has come in this state because he has committed something against the law of God, some crime. And therefore, we must help reach down and give him a helping hand and lift him up into the consciousness of God. Because it is not always that someone has done something that someone has done wrong that brings him that way. Sometimes somebody is born, and we have one little child in this group like that. That is the most tremendous God soul I have ever seen, and yet that child is in a body. She has the mind of an adult,
Every part of her being is in God. She even asked her mother if she could take Priya 2 years ago. Little tiny thing. Her mother said, no, she had to wait. And she said, but I know the workings of it. I know how to do it. So her mother asked her, and she told her, strangely enough, where did she get this information? Nobody had told her. But she had it. Sometimes this happens so that the soul might affect all the people with whom they come in contact. And they can see that in spite of a crippled body, that nevertheless that one can put forth the glory of God in such a way that it can change the lives of anyone who looks at them or comes in contact with them. And it's a tremendous thing. It reminds me of the story of a minister who was talking about God realization. And he said, it doesn't matter the state of your body, that if you will make the effort, even though you are all crippled and you cannot do the ordinary things that are required of people that are supposed to be doing the techniques that will take them to God. He said, still, if your faith, if your desire, if your love for God is great enough, you will go. And he looked over and he saw a broken candle. And he reached down and picked it up. And he lit it. And he said, you see, even though this candle is broken and it is bent, still it produces the same light. And that is the way it is. That is the way it is. With everything in me, I want to help you lift from hell. I want to help you to lift the divine upward within yourself. I want to help to expand your hearts so that you will feel only God's presence there, that you will think only pure thoughts, that you will do only pure actions. There was a little boy once who was walking along the road. He had bare feet and just a pair of coveralls on. He was whistling as he went, kicking the dust with his feet. It was almost twilight, but not quite. The sun was out in full glory. All of a sudden, he felt so imbued with this tremendous power of light that he reached out his arms to the sun and he said, oh, sun, how I love you. He said, I wish that I could climb up and just be right in the center of it. And strangely enough, it seemed as though the sun heard his cry and came closer and closer and closer into the earth. And here was this great big ball of fire and it got hotter. But from this ball stepped out a radiant figure. And the little boy opened his eyes and was awestruck at this figure. And he said, my son, I shall be very happy to welcome you to the house of the sun. But you must go to another house first before you can come. He said, but one thing I will tell you. He said, your journey may not be easy, but whenever you will think of me, he said, then I will come to you and I will help you. So the boy thought it was very, very strange. He went home and he found a note from his mother. She had left some food on the table for him, but she said she would be out a while. It was a welcome respite to the boy because he wanted to be alone and sort of feel out this strange experience which had come to him. He went to bed that night, woke up the next morning, and the room was all in darkness. He heard somebody snoring, and he couldn't figure out who would be snoring in his room. All of a sudden, two windows opened, and he looked at the windows and realized that the person he had heard snoring was himself. He looked down, he saw his toes, he saw the bedclothes, he saw the birch tree outside the window, and all of a sudden he realized that this person who had been snoring was himself, that the windows were the windows of his own eyes, that the room was totally in darkness. Anyway, he got up and he dressed himself. As he dressed himself, he went past his little brother's room. He remembered yesterday what a beating he had given his little brother because his brother had some sweetmeats and had refused to share them with him. And he saw his face, his own face, all puffy, full of hatred and anger and greed and desire to take away from the little brother. Isn't this terrible, what I have done to my little brother? Still, he was in a state of darkness. And this continued. Day after day, he was in this room of darkness, and every time something happened, It was as though he was taken to view a play. And in the center of that play, all of a sudden he saw himself as the villain. Everything he did. And he didn't know what to do. He couldn't get away from this self that he was seeing so constantly. He realized that this was the other place which the man and the son had said he must go. And he realized that it was within himself. And he thought, what shall I do? I am in total darkness. I do not like to see all these ugly pictures of the things that I have done to myself and to other people. What shall I do? Then he remembered that the son had told him that if he would only think of him, that he would help him. So he sat down, he closed his eyes, and he felt the son. And immediately he felt more at peace with himself. And he was able to concentrate quite a while on the son. And he felt much better. So he went around. He was still getting some of the pictures of himself. Still, he didn't like it. But more and more, he found that if he would concentrate on the sun, close his eyes, that he would be rid of all of this. Finally, the day came when it wasn't just a spasm, but his whole being wanted to go into this place in the sun. He wasn't interested in the things outside anymore in the world, but only in becoming one with that sun, because it made him feel, just feel the bliss and the light. He could smell the perfume that came from the expression of the sun within himself. One day as he sat there, all of a sudden, again the sun heard the voice, and the man and the sun walked out. And there stood the Christ of God, before him. He said, come, my son, he said, the other place where it goes has now been cleansed. He said, you have filled it with my light, the light of my presence. He said, come, I will take you on the journey to the sun, and we shall see many more, many beautiful things. So if you will pick up your cross, if you will ascend the seven steps to glory within yourself, you will find that glory in your consciousness. A thousand petal lotus of the brain will expand, and the gold of the spirit will fill your being. You will go into the throne room, which is your heart. It is the heart of God. And you will find his love there. And that love, and that light, and that life, you will find to be everlasting within yourself. You shall wear a crown of glory, and that life indeed. Pray, O Heavenly Father, Divine Mother, I feel the wonder and the beauty of thy glorious presence in every part of my being. My heart is bursting with my love for thee. I kneel in adoration at thy feet and surrender myself to thee. I feel the power of thy perfection surging in every cell of my body. My mind and my intelligence are radiant with thy healing light. My soul is filled with the ecstasy of bliss of my communion with thee. I and my Father are one. Blessed Spirit, I am thee. O Heavenly Father, open my eyes that I may see thy face. Open my ears that I may hear thy footsteps everywhere. Open my heart that I may feel the glory of thy love. O Heavenly Father, may thy love shine forever. On the sanctuary of my devotion. May I be able to awaken thy love in all hearts.